Here we are at the end of this season of Pancake. Don't cry. You still get this episode, and it's quite a doozy. It's going to make you want to go back and listen to all of the other episodes again. So after that, when you're wondering what on earth you're going to do with your commute, go to audibletrial.com/pancake and get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial of Audible. My favorite audiobook, however very un-pancake-like, is Julie Andrews' memoir, Home, and it's read by her, so you really can't go wrong. Julie Andrews' childhood was honestly the most wild thing ever, and it's read in her very sultry, sweet voice. I recommend everyone check it out. Anyway, the link is audibletrial.com/pancake. Thank you for supporting this podcast by signing up for something free. It's the least you could do. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to KSRN News. I'm Nancy Cullen. Police are thrilled to announce they've arrested 20-year-old Jared Rossmore and are in the beginning stages of forming a prosecution against him for first-degree murder in the case of Edward Crestfield. In a statement to media this morning, Police Commissioner Peter Rolley is quoted saying, "We want to thank the incredibly hard-working detectives of this department who worked tirelessly to discover the truth behind this horrific crime, and the good people of San Ramon for the continued faith in the police department to ensure justice is served in this community."
From the kitchen in San Ramon, it's Pancake. One meal told week by week. Every good story has a villain. Without one, stories wouldn't even begin. No story was simply all was well. That's what happens at the beginning and the end. Villains provide all the rest. Villains are the first to act. Heroes react. Police spend all day looking for someone to stop. That's why they're called first responders. They respond to action. You can't help but admire them. The villains, that is. They are creative. They're catalysts. They can't stand to see the world the way it is. This story has a villain, and quite a remarkable one at that. The way the cops see it, the villain is Jared Rossmore. He was a former student of Crestfield, was part of the drug trade empire Crestfield had amassed. Rossmore owed Crestfield a ton of money for some drops he made. Who knows what happened to the cash? He tracked Crestfield's jogging route, waited for him to come around the block, then hit him in the legs with a baseball bat. He fell. He dropped his phone. He was tied up and thrown into the trunk of Rossmore's car. Then he took him to one of the many abandoned warehouses in the industrial part of town known as Black Hawk. According to the heartbeat log on the Fitbit, at 1:39 a.m., he killed Crestfield with a blow to the back of the head with a baseball bat. Then, at some point in the early morning, he drove to the dead whale pit, dragged him through the devil's unspecified orifice, and pushed him into the pit. You know the rest after that. The radio recording at the start of this episode, it's already 3 months old. Jared has been convicted. His sentencing was last week. He's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, unless he lives to be 64, and then he'll be out on parole. My reluctant producer, Lulu, thought we should do a final interview to go over the entire case. Questions unanswered, answers to be questioned.
Thanks for doing this, Laura. I'm thinking we could do a little Q&A to fill in some of the gaps for the listeners. I'll just jump right in with some questions I got for you.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I guess the first thing is, when did the cops realize it was Rossmore?
They knew about Rossmore from his own criminal record, but have never connected him to Crestfield before. Rossmore admitted to muling for Crestfield, and both of their DNA was found on the doors of the warehouse that they think Crestfield was killed in.
Did they ever find the murder weapon?
No, they never found a baseball bat that had a positive DNA match for either Crestfield or Rossmore.
So what was their case against him?
Well, Rossmore had motive, opportunity, and certainly this murder wouldn't have been his first act of violence. Plus, he didn't have an alibi. Even with the lack of evidence, cops had a pretty decent case. But for what it's worth, Rossmore still denies knowing anything about Crestfield's disappearance, much less admitting to his murder.
Really? He's still insisting on his innocence? You never felt like the murder had anything to do with the drug dealing.
No, in my exposure to human nature, I've never found that people kill over drugs or for fiscal gain.
But what about Cole Bordeaux? You were confident he had done it for monetary motive.
No, I actually wasn't. I never really thought that he did it. I was just trying to milk the idea for an episode or two, give it a little intrigue.
Wait, so you accused that guy of murder knowing full well that he didn't do it?
Yeah, it's like I'll always say, never let the threat of a slander lawsuit stop you from following your dreams.
What was your motivation for doing that? You must have known he wouldn't confess.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be an interesting lead to walk through.
Murder is a serious accusation, Laura. Someone is dead. And why were you so sure he didn't do it?
Because people don't kill out of emotions like love or, as I said, for fiscal gain.
People do kill for both of those things all the time.
No, they don't. I'm pretty sure. I checked.
In any case, your Bordeaux plot didn't pan out because the cops got Rossmore, like, the same day.
Yeah, that was such a bummer.
That the murder was caught? That's a bummer for you?
Exactly, yeah. I had a story arc to complete, and then suddenly, Rossmore is arrested, and I didn't know anything about him. He wasn't in any of the notes.
But there were clear leads towards Crestfield's drug dealing. You could have followed up on those.
After planning my approach for so long, I don't think so.
So long? How long? Weren't you just following the case where it went?
I mean, I was hoping Detective Andrews could have been a suspect. That had been fun. The cop investigating did the deed.
The police officer as a suspect? All you did was catch him off guard and he said baseball bat before it was supposed to be public knowledge.
Yeah, I thought I'd use that to make him into a twist bad guy. He admitted to having access to baseball bats, so if that had been the murder weapon, that would have cast a lot of doubt on him.
What do you mean? That was the murder weapon.
Right, yeah. I was going to discover that it had been something else. But even without that, Andrews had the most to gain from, quote, solving, unquote, the murder. Like, what if he'd killed Crestfield and set up Rossmore for it to, like, get the praise when catching him?
Okay, so we get that you had some stuff planned. But who were you actually thinking had done it? What do you think people kill over? What would motivate someone to kill in your mind? I want to know.
I don't know. I didn't get that far yet.
Okay, so let's talk about our star piece of evidence, the Fitbit. What do you think about the location services being turned off? What do you think that meant?
Drug dealers rarely self-report their movements. Here's my deal. I don't think the Fitbit was the foolproof piece of evidence the cops thought it was. That data could have been misinterpreted. What if he was actually killed there, on the sidewalk, and then the killer somehow manipulated the Fitbit to keep him, quote, alive, unquote, until later in the night?
Okay, what do you mean? Like, he put it on? Why would Rossmore have done that? Why does it matter when Crestfield died that night?
You're right. With Rossmore in the warehouse holding the baseball bat, it really doesn't matter when he swung it.
Where were you that night again, Laura? August 15th?
I was volunteering at the senior home. I run the Insomniac Book Club.
And what are the times for that again?
11 p.m. to 4 a.m.
I guess the last thing I was going to say was that you owe Jared Rossmore a vanilla Coke because you didn't catch him.
Yeah. I guess so.
There you have it. It's over. 6 episodes, and it's over. Pancake is produced by Alex Richwood and me. This episode is written by me, Laura Matthews.
So you think you figured it out, huh? You think you know, don't you? But you don't know why. Why? I told you. In episode 1, I needed a story.
This episode was performed by me, Elaine Dana, as Lulu, and Megan Matthews as Nancy Cullen. Rocky Chavez did our theme music and is our sound tech. Alex Richwood is our freelance story consultant. And any similarities to real life or historical persons or events is purely coincidental.